Welcome to Minute Impossible. Your mission, should you choose to accept it, is to investigate with us the movie Mission Impossible, 1 minute at a time. I'm Jonathan.
I'm Chris.
And I'm George.
Ooh, from that sultry voice.
I was going to say, it's very spy voice right there.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm gravelly.
that dulcet tone you hear is none other than George Hendricks from the Mogwai Minute. George, welcome.
Hey, thanks for having me. I love this movie. Honestly, don't tell Neil. I love this movie more than I love my movie.
Oh my God. No, we won't tell Neil. He's not allowed.
No, don't let him listen to this. It's not within his purview. It's like everyone can listen to this one, but not Neil.
Okay, everyone but Neil. But always make sure everyone needs to listen to Mogwai Minute.
Oh yeah, definitely. You can,
Well, I need to not listen so that it evens out. So Neil, you know.
No, we're not worried about that. That's fine. Plus, I think you've already passed minute 20, minute 31, so you're good. Or close to it. Minute 31 for us is where the nudity starts, so brace yourself.
Well, there's no nudity in minute 31 here, George. I'm sorry.
There's fish nudity.
Fish are always nude.
Yeah, exactly. And they're very on display here.
This nude fish minute starts with the reveal of job 314 and wraps up with us learning Ethan is from a family of farmers. Pretty big minute. We're still in the aquarium restaurant, said with an accent. Aquarium.
Aquarium.
I would just like to say that I understand that they built this restaurant for the movie. It doesn't really exist in real life.
Yeah.
But there is, and I live in Denver, Colorado, and there is an aquarium in downtown area that is right next to a restaurant, like a seafood restaurant. Like, I think they're very like, maybe like they don't even share a parking lot. It's like a 12-foot walk from door to door.
Is it an aquarium restaurant or an aquarium shop next to a restaurant?
No, it's a straight up restaurant next to a real aquarium, which makes me wonder how fresh their seafood is.
Yeah, we have a restaurant here in our aquarium here in Houston. So it's kind of weird to go over there and see them, you know, with a full-on restaurant right around the aquarium. So it's very strange.
We don't eat the fish out of Lake Michigan here in Chicago.
That would be terrifying.
That would be awful.
Unless you want gills yourself.
Or three eyes.
Or that.
This minute begins with us learning Kittredge is explaining to Ethan that this has all been a setup.
It's a mole hunt.
Yeah, it's a mole hunt. And at second 23 of this minute, it all makes sense why this entire mission is odd. We've been talking about it since minute 6. Why is this mission so sideways?
That's a terrible idea. Not even a U.S. embassy in a country that's really terribly friendly to the U.S. Prague at this time, not so great.
No.
Yeah, I agree. So now we know why. It was a mole hunt.
But at the same time, that makes you think, why would they think that was a good idea? Why would they not say at some point, you know what? This is kind of like fishy, like this restaurant.
They just had blind faith and they trusted Jim to lead them down the path of righteousness.
Never trust John Voight as my motto in life.
No, never trust John Voight.
I think that's a good rule to live by in real life too.
So far, it's done me excellent.
Yep.
Yes, same here.
He tried to get me into a pyramid scheme once.
Would John Voight do this? No. Then I will probably do this.
WWJVND.
Yeah.
What would John Voight not do? I wear that t-shirt all the time.
I would wear that any day.
Those will be available at the Minute Impossible Facebook page next week.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Well, I get a cut, but it's okay. Whatever.
Well, if George stays with us the entire week, I have a feeling a lot of this week is going to be about the way Kittredge talks. The way Kittredge enunciates words and the way he condescends to Ethan. He's almost he's almost glib.
Yes, it's that classic Robert Town condescending tone that he gets on most of his screenplays.
I'd also like to say that if Kittredge were as passive-aggressive at work as he is at home, it must be a nightmare to live with him. He's like, walks in, he's like, well, I guess someone's not taking the garbage out tonight. Are they?
It's the whole thing. It was a mole hunt just to figure out who wasn't taking the garbage out. That's what he said to his kids.
It was like, Billy, we really wanted you to take the garbage out, but you didn't. That tells us a lot.
I'm trying to see if there's a shot of Kittredge's hands. There's not in this minute. So maybe in future minutes we can find out if there is a Mrs. Kittredge.
Well, they show you nothing in the scene, but like his face from the bottom up. It's not a Dutch angle. I don't know what the angle that is.
Last week he did pass Ethan a passport.
He did.
But that was with his right hand, so I don't know.
See if there's a Mrs. Kittredge.
See if there's a Mrs. Kittredge. The first thing Kittredge tells Ethan is that the actual knock list is kept in Langley, Virginia. Again, that's bad spying right there.
Yeah.
Kind of bragging, isn't he?
He's just giving it all up right there, man.
Such a bragger.
I love that he's that cocky that he's just going to tell a guy who is now surrounded by the B team.
Who he also assumes he is a mole for a Czechoslovakian arms dealer named Max, which, assuming also it's a man, which is a total 90s dick move, but whatever.
And that it's job 314. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of inference going on in this scene.
Yeah, I would say Kittredge is definitely management. Management.
Yeah. Yeah, he's not mansplaining to Ethan. He's Kittredge-splaining to Ethan completely. It's just like one thing too many.
Well, actually, Ethan, I would like to tell you that you are, in fact, not who we thought you were.
I'm not mad at you, Ethan. I'm just disappointed.
Disappointed.
That's the worst part, you know, being disappointed on.
We do find out a sad fact, and that's that Ethan's dad has died recently. That's sad.
Was it recently? Because it just sounds like it's a thing. It's not like, you know, it's like, oh, by the way, while you were on this mission.
Oh, I don't think he died like while he was on the mission. I think.
Well, actually, Ethan, your father's dead.
We killed him. To go back, Kittredge explained.
What works on U.S. soil?
Kittredge is filling him in that his house after his father's death was in receivership. And that's
what is that, Jonathan?
Oh, you want to know what receivership is?
Jonathan, explain it to us.
I would love to know what receivership is and why someone's house would be in such after the death of the patriarch.
I was in college when this movie came out, and this is the first time I'd ever heard the word receivership. But in the movie, I just went nodded my head like, oh, yeah, it's in receivership. I assumed that meant it was up for sale or the bank took a lien out on it. That's what I assumed. It's not actually that. It's the in-between of that. A receivership is basically, here's the least boring way of saying it. Receivership is when the bank, instead of losing all of its money by taking it over and then trying to sell it at a loss, actually lets a person become the owner of this property so that maybe they can put things into the property and become the landlord of the people who owe the money. So it's a way to make more money off a bad deal.
Okay.
A bank doesn't have time to be the ward of a bad deal. So they've created receiverships where the here's what it says. Here, I'll read you the actual thing. The receiver is a buffer for the bank, and this party also allows them to enhance the asset. But the receiver, at the end of the day, doesn't get any money out of the asset. That's just their job. Their job is to keep the property value up.
I think Kittredge is way too interested in Ethan's father's assets.
Yeah, it sounds that way. It's super weird. This movie is full of amazing little facts like this. It's something that's not interesting, and I'm glad they gloss over it really quickly. The fact that Ethan was a farmer is interesting more than anything else, and the fact that his father had died and that he obviously wasn't giving any of his paycheck over to his family because they were only $120,000 in debt. At the beginning of the movie, George, we found out how much these guys get paid from the dossier at the beginning that shows up really quickly in the
opening credits.
In the opening credits, it actually shows their pay grade, and we went and looked up how much they make. He makes over $100,000 a year. He could easily have given his parents enough money
to keep them afloat.
Yeah, just to keep them afloat. I mean, he didn't have to give them all $100,000, although he does live on the government's dime all the time.
Yeah, I mean, even Clark Kent sent, you know, money to his mother, you know?
Yeah, $10,000 of that's tax deductible.
Especially like Metropolis dollars to Kansas dollars. I mean, that exchange rate is pretty solid.
Well, I don't know. He's a deep cover agent, so I assume he's always undercover. He could easily have paid her.
Yeah, I mean, how does his parents know when he comes to visit if he's that deep undercover? Does he come with one of those masks on? It's like, hi, I'm a friend of your son's Ethan's.
Well, hello, I am your son Ethan, and I just want to tell you that he is, in fact, doing real well.
Is that your Southern Ethan?
That is my like Southern it. Ross Perot-esque Ethan.
That's good.
Or he comes with that Russian mask from the beginning, speaking only Russian to them.
Both Bernice and Ivory being it right. And guess what? I can't speak Russian.
Hope you enjoy the money. Well, that Z money. I don't know what that is. It's bad.
And then they just the peel reveal. Oh, man. I'm so glad face technology got better as the movies moved on.
You're the second person to bring that up.
We've been talking about that as well. Yeah,
it's exactly. So apparent.
But yeah, I think it's hilarious. I hope that that's why Kittredge is so mad at him. He's actually madder that he didn't support his mother and his family.
You could have paid this off at any given point.
You didn't have to be a mole, Ethan.
Ethan, you're leaving money on the table.
Just write a check, Ethan. Write a check.
Yeah, this minute ends with him saying that his farm is in receivership. There are a lot of Dutch angles for all of those keeping track at home. That's at least, let me check my board.
Oh, wow.
307.
Yeah.
I'm guessing they had like two cameras on these people at the same time so they could just interact with one another. And just both of them were just sitting at Dutch angles watching them like up their nose.
Oh, yeah. They didn't have a table there. They just had the camera shooting up in their face holes. Except if you look at the way, look at the way they're set up, Ethan's camera is way more photogenically Dutched. Whereas Kittredge, since he's the bad guy, he's the antagonist in this scene, is much more severe. And you just see like the fish swimming above him the whole time.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a very deliberate.
Going back and looking at the minute. Ethan is, we're leaning into that Dutch angle. So it's inviting from left to right. Like we all read and left side of America is great. And everybody on the right of the globe is bad. You know, we've been taught that. So if you look at look at Kittredge, he's the opposite direction. He's right to left.
Yeah. Plus it looks like he's got sharks swimming above him as well. But you know, it's just the angle making it look that way.
Barracuda.
Well, that's a good point to ask. We had brought this up with Nathan last week, but do you think these fish in here are ornate, ornamental, or are they the fish that they're actually going to eat?
I feel like they're the fish in a restaurant aquarium. I don't particularly think they'd be like, they wouldn't have like 47 striped bass in there because you just got to like whip one out and cook it up. They have fancy fish.
Yeah, I think of aquarium is also a steakhouse more than it is a fish house.
And there are lobsters in the back, in that back.
Yes, there are.
The back tank, there are lobsters with little things on their hands.
Rubber bands.
Yeah, things.
Lobster, you know, cuffs.
Lobster
cuffs.
Other than talking about receivership. This minute's interesting because I like that the B team is still in character. We're at a point now where Kittredge is spilling the beans, and supposedly everyone there knows they're there to catch him, and they're still all in character. We've still got the two guy, the old couple in the back, and
the waiters are still serving.
No, I just wanted to point out that just my personal feelings are the fact that while it's not her, the woman, the one of the drunk Russians, like from the bank. It looks like Carrie Van Houten from Game of Thrones.
Okay.
So I personally think that she's still alive from Game of Thrones, and now she's moved thousands of years into the future, still being an immortal being, and now she is now a CIA agent, and this is her.
And Game of Thrones takes place on Earth?
Well, you know, Westeros, like a long time ago.
Okay, back when the continents, before they shifted.
Yeah, but she's like, basically, she's got that weird necklace that makes her always look young, so she looks
Is that like Hobbit time or something?
Something like that.
It, you know, are you talking about the woman that's behind his right shoulder, his left shoulder?
Yeah, because in the other original scene, when he is stumbling past them, and they're all kind of like, you know, drunk, and then he does the recap earlier, you see that she looks just like her.
You mean in minute 30, the minute I gave you and told you were going to be doing, and then...
Are we talking about that? Are
we can talk about it.
No, Jonathan. That would be minute 26.
It's before we got to aquarium.
I accidentally gave George 26 through 31 to look at, or 26 through 30, the minutes.
And I did. I took notes.
And George took notes and then showed up, and then we said, let's do 31 through 50, and he looked at us and said, what?
Oh, wait, excuse me? Pardon moi?
So just so you know, George is going off the cuff. On minute 31 through 35. Oh, my God. Yes. George is going commando in this
yep.
in this movie about spies.
Do you wonder if they spend as much on this aquarium thing for the with the Impossible Mission Force as they would have just given him the money for his house, for his parents' house?
Oh, easily. That place, if they built that just specifically to have a meeting point, that place has to cost like a couple $100,000 to put on.
Exactly.
I mean, have you ever tried to price out a fish tank? We're talking like a 20-gallon fish tank is like $100. So imagine like a 600-gallon fish tank that is part of a building.
Yeah, and there's above and below and everywhere.
And there's structural issues, and then there's temporal issues with the fish. And then obviously it's cold outside because you can see their breath and they're running around. Also, if they have a contingency plan for where you're going to meet after this, why did they have a contingency plan for jacket? Because he was running around with that stupid dinner jacket, and it had to be like 30 degrees outside.
So, I mean, they probably have some sort of like, you know, cut scene where you get back to it. Deleted scene where they're like 2 weeks before this, making this whole restaurant for this, just this one moment, probably.
That's an Impossible Mission farce.
I mean, I know it's not a real restaurant in real life, but you think they made this restaurant just to catch him in a trap? That doesn't make any sense.
I think so, because it seems like the sort of waste government would do for, you know, to spend their money, their budgets.
Kitchen's like, all right, everybody, shut up. We're going to make a restaurant.
Fish everywhere.
Shut up.
I would also like to point out that relating to my Game of Thrones theory is the fact that this restaurant is set – it basically is located in what part of Prague is Old Town, which obviously is a Game of Thrones reference. And also, isn't every part of Prague Old Town? There's no new Prague. They're not making new Prague. It's been around for thousands of years.
It's like naming one part of Chicago Gunville. It's all Gunville. We know.
That's an inside joke. I don't get that.
Oh, Gunville. Bang, bang. Guns?
Oh, no. I get guns. Is there a part of Chicago called Gunville?
No, I would. God damn it. No.
The joke is lost on him. He lives out in scenic Denver.
I do. It's like, I've got mountains. You've got firearms. Whatever. It's fine.
So, yes, I think that Kittredge spent all this money and the government's money to make this restaurant just to catch Ethan or to catch the mole. Who they assume is Ethan long time ago.
See, here's the thing, though. Just from a logistics standpoint, I don't know if that's the case, specifically because he says, let's go to Point Green to meet up. Point Green is a very arbitrary destination, so it's not like he has the place. And also, Ethan was very surprised to find out that Kittredge was in Prague. So it's not exactly like a pop-up shop. They're just like, let's fly in the aquarium restaurant and pop it down right here.
That kind of note sounds like something someone that watched the 26 through 30 minutes would know.
But this listen, was, I've got notes. They are not going to waste.
We should definitely give a shout out to Henry Cerny in this because he's fantastic.
Oh, he's amazing.
Yeah, he really is.
Some of the stuff he's been in, if you've never seen this movie and are listening 1 minute at a time, one, you're insane. Two, you should definitely see some of the other things Henry Cerny's in. He most recently is in Revenge, the TV show. He's one of the main characters on that show before it was canceled. He actually did the voice. Here's a fun fact. He did the voice of Kittredge in the Lego Dimension game. So there is a Mission Impossible Lego Dimension character named Kittredge from the CIA. I don't think he's the director, but he is a CIA agent. And he's currently on Quantico.
Oh, you know what? That show's still on? Oh, my God.
As hilarious enough, he is the director of the CIA.
I watched like 3 episodes of that. I'm like, nope, I have more better things to do with my life than to watch this show. So I stopped.
Clear and Present watching. Danger. That's why I just saw him in the other day. I was watching
that.
Yeah.
That's
where he's also one of the big muckety mucks in the A-Team movie.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Okay, I do like that movie.
I love that movie.
It's
so underrated.
It's so underrated. I feel like they should have like just sucked it up and made another one.
And it made 3 times its budget. So I don't understand why it didn't get a sequel.
I love it when a plan comes together, and they should too.
George, another. I told you this. Maybe I told you this in text. I thought I told you about. Did I tell you about Tech of the Ep?
I'm sorry. What?
It's something I usually sprint. Now, this I usually spring on you when you're on the show because I don't want you to actually think
I'm here. So there we go.
Normally what I do is I spring this on our guest. We're looking for the best technology in the scene and you have to either nominate something that you see or have heard about or fight about something that everyone agrees on, but you know, you can fight about it. You can make your own decisions. You can say, I'm going off in a completely different way. This scene, sometimes tech of the ep is hard.
I feel like there's very little tech in this one. Although I will, you know, like if we're doing a straight parallel, I will say that, in my original note series, I was very, it wasn't until watching minute 26 that I realized that he was using his cufflink to secure a link to the phone. I never realized he was doing
that. Oh, that's what it was.
Yeah, he takes his cufflink out, he puts it in his mouth, he opens the phone, puts it in there, and then shuts it, and then he calls, and that's using it to – that's basically his scrambler for the phone.
Nathan, you've just been schooled from last week by a guy that wasn't even supposed to do these minutes.
That's awesome. I didn't even think of
– That's what that was. We were trying to – we knew what it was, that it was a scrambler, but we didn't know. We were like
– We couldn't figure out where he got it from.
It's such a small amount of business where he's just sort of like – you see him fumbling around and then his wrist and then he opens it up. But he's obviously taking his cufflink off of his shirt and shoving it in there and then using that to like set up a secure link on the payphone.
Man, if only you'd brought your A game for minute 31.
I brought my A game for both.
Yeah, this is fantastic. So you're going with tech from minute 26. Because of my error, I will give this to you this time and allow.
Hey, thanks. Cool. Because we all know that in a couple of minutes, the best tech of the entire movie is coming up, but we'll get there.
That's right. The fish tank.
The fish tank.
Pressurized tempered glass.
In Prague in the winter.
I still hold to my theory because of what's about to happen in the next couple minutes that they've made this place specifically for this capture.
Oh, that's a new take, is that the Aquarium restaurant on its own is tech.
Yes.
Okay. Well,
I think there's definitely tech involved, but maybe not spy tech. I just think it's good design. But we'll get there. We'll get there.
Aesthetic tech is still a tech, I guess.
I agree.
Because of my screw up, I'm gonna have to side with George. It is definitely the cufflink, cufflink scrambler. Chris, you're overruled on this one.
Okay.
So you get overruled for two episodes.
Yep, and that ends Tech of the Ep.
The Ep is done.
Oh my God. That was fast and loose. I have the strange feeling Tech of the Ep is turning into this like Mad Max style free for all where there were vague rules at the beginning, but now there are not as many rules as there used to be. And
we'll introduce it in the future by saying back in the original times, you know,
when Tech of the Ep was an actual thing.
In the before times.
We showed them on Friday. We were so involved talking about those stupid fish that we didn't even do a Tech of the Ep. We just completely forgot. Did a 25-minute episode, no Tech of the Ep. So I had to talk to Nathan, and he, one of our previous guests, graciously sent in a handwritten note.
About fish. No, about patterns.
About patterns on a chair.
He had mentioned the patterns on the chair, though. I remember him mentioning that.
Yeah, he did like it. We'll end this episode and minute 31. Join us tomorrow for minute 32. I'm going to have to ask that you come back, George. I'm sorry. You're now stuck here for the rest of the week.
All right. I guess I choose to accept the mission.
Before tomorrow, can you please at least watch minute 32?
If you send me the right one, I might.
Fantastic. Is there anything you'd like to plug before we go today?
Check out my podcast, The Mogwai Minute.
Although that would be cool, the Mod Y.
The Mod Y, yeah, exactly. The Mod Wife Minute, where it's just like women and they're like, you know, like fun skirts and like, yeah. No, that's more like Austin Powers Minute, which is a totally different thing altogether. But yeah, Mod Y Minute, we're on iTunes and, you know, we have a website, but don't go there. It's terrible. I haven't fixed it yet.
Is it afraid of the dark or the light?
Especially after midnight. But yeah, also find us on our Facebook page, which is the Mod Y Minute. Just look for our Facebook group, but come hang out and talk to us. We talk a lot about pizza.
Yeah, you do, because you have a horrible taste in pizza. So
I have amazing taste in pizza. Shut your damn hole.
He likes pineapple on pizza.
No, it's not pizza. Pineapple on pizza.
That is not pizza.
So good. Oh, it's so bad.
It's so bad.
Well, I like jalapenos on pizza. So
I like pineapple and jalapenos on pizza together.
Okay. Well, great. I'm glad you do.
Throwing a meat, and I'm just a happy camper.
Thank God Neil's not going to listen to this episode.
Yeah, just this one, though.
Well, great. George, thank you very much. We will see you tomorrow. If you guys want to get in touch with us, we are on Twitter at MinImpossible, M-I-N, Impossible. You can also talk to us about any goofy thing you want at the Impossible Minute Force on Facebook. And if you'd like to email us, we don't know why, MinuteImpossible@gmail.com. I've been Jonathan.
I've been Chris.
And I'm always George.
This minute will self-destruct. Mouth noises.
Sexy time.